Oh, we got the little critter back tonight, don't we? My grandson. In our study of the Holy Spirit, we have learned who the Spirit is. We've looked at passages that confirm that the Spirit indwells faithful Christians. We learned that He helps us in our weaknesses, especially when we don't know for what to pray. And in that way, He makes intercession for us. We've learned that the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Word of God, the written Word of God. And He also gives us access to God. We also learned that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. In the last two lessons, we've taken an up-close look at what it means to be led by the Spirit. And we have especially seen that His guidance is always tied to the Bible. In other words, the Spirit can't guide you if you are ignorant of God's Word. But some still ask, is there any help from God other than through the written Word of God? And that's an incredibly important question. And the answer is yes. Absolutely yes. Now I'm going to share a couple of ways that God works in our lives. First of all, He works in providence. Now, the Scripture clearly emphasizes that we've got to be about the Lord's work. Our lives should be characterized with works of faith and labors of love. We need to exert ourselves. Paul explained it this way. It's like a boxer. In 1 Corinthians 9:26, he said, Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. And that's the picture of this. He also said that we have to strive to receive the crown. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 or 7 and 8. You're all familiar with these passages. I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Therefore, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Paul, in fact, says that we are workers, fellow workers with God in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. What a beautiful thought. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, you are God's building. And so we have to be about the Lord's work. But is there any providence of God that helps us today as we're about the Lord's work, as we exert ourselves? Now, by providence, we're talking about God's care, His overruling care for His people. For instance, let me ask this question. Does God answer prayers? Does prayer have any effect other than a psychological impact on the one who's praying? Of course, God answers prayers. And of course, there is much more than just mental help. There's no question that God does work in His providence for you and me. But there's a difference between God's providence and miraculous, supernatural interventions recorded in the Bible. In the Bible, of course, we read many miracles, about many miracles that were performed by Jesus, by the apostles, by those on whom they laid their hands. Those were demonstrations of God's supernatural power, which even the unbeliever could clearly see, and once they saw that, they understood that now the words this person is speaking to me have now been verified. They are from God. That was the purpose of those miracles. And today, still, God still has the power to work behind the scenes in His providence. And He does just that. In fact, all the Godhead work together to that end. God doesn't do one thing while Christ is doing something else, and then the Holy Spirit doing something else. They're one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit work together for our redemption in the gospel, and they work together in the providence. How did they do that? Okay, that's the big question, right? How did they do that? Well, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to give you a for instance. Because you really didn't come to hear what I think. We're here to see what the Bible says. And there's an incredible promise made in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Paul says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Watch the promise. "Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." How can this passage be true unless God was working behind the scenes to fulfill this passage? And according to this verse, exactly what is God doing? Well, first of all, He promises that you will not be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. In fact, look at the context of this verse. Often this verse is read and taken completely out of context. And you'll hear people say, "Well, the Bible promises that God will never put on us more than we can bear." That's true. But there's a much more significant message here than just that. Look at verse 6. "Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." He's talking about things that happened in the Old Testament. "And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain." You'll need to turn that air conditioner on in the nursery, okay? "Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages has come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." And so Paul is challenging those Corinthians and us to not be filled with lust, to be idolaters or fornicators or tempters of Christ or complainers. It seemed at times the Israelites were just incapable of saying no to any kind of sin. We've been reading that in our daily readings. And so Paul says all of this then was written for our benefit as well now. All the Israelites needed to do was to draw near to God. Walk close to God. Walk in the light. Be led by the Spirit, because He will never allow His people to face a temptation that they can't say no to, that they can't resist. Bottom line, God is constantly restricting Satan's ability to tempt us. Imagine what it'd be if Satan wasn't limited. Now, secondly, with every temptation, God provides a way of escape. And the catch is, we have to be willing to take that path of escape. He's not going to ever force us or hurt us through the way of escape. We understand this. We have to use our minds. We have to live by the principles that we have been taught in order to find the way out of those temptations. He has provided that for us and will continue to do so. And so God does work in His providence. We might not understand all the ways how that's getting done, but He works in His providence, or else 1 Corinthians 10:13 could not be true. Now here's another way that God helps us. He answers our prayers for wisdom. Are you seeking God's guidance? Are you wanting to praise Him with your life? Or are you seeking help in dealing with life's burdens? So what do? Well, part of what you do is pray. And so we pray to God for His help, even in making right decisions. In some cases, your choice may be between something good and something even better, right? You got two choices here. None of them are bad. One's good and one's even better. Sometimes it's between things that, for all we can see, are equal to us. We all understand the need at times in our life to make the right choices, to walk through the correct doors of opportunity. Now, we all face trials. And it's often during those trials that we find our greatest opportunities to grow spiritually. That's what James was talking about. In James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, now if you had never read the Bible or you had no knowledge of God's Word, this would sound ludicrous. But James writes, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now the word patience means endurance, the original word here. It's keeping on, keeping on. The testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience or endurance have its perfect work, that you may be complete. Or perfect and complete. And the word perfect literally means full grown, fully matured, lacking nothing. But in the midst of that trial in your life that may seem like an Oklahoma thunderstorm, it's so easy to become confused, distracted, maybe even overwhelmed. And it's on those days, we've all been there, right? It's on those days that we especially need God's wisdom. James chapter 1 verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, go ask the preacher. Right? If any of you lack, go ask the preacher's wife. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And so does God give wisdom to everyone who asks? No. But to those who are walking in faith. Now, this prayer for wisdom is not asking God for supernatural revelations, miraculous revelations. It's not asking for a miracle to remove the thunderstorm. Wisdom has to do with the proper use of knowledge. James says that God will give us wisdom to help us through the trial. Now, there were some in the first century that had the miraculous gift of speaking words of wisdom. We read about that in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 and 8. Paul writes, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." He's talking about miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit." Notice, not everyone had this gift. But the Holy Spirit chose what gift those who received gifts would receive. And the Holy Spirit chose to give some the miraculous word of wisdom through the Spirit. James, however, is writing about wisdom for which everyone should pray when they're in trials. Wisdom to deal with a trial and grow. Become better, not bitter. Wisdom for when we're confused about how to apply God's word to a difficult situation in our lives. It's not necessary for us to know exactly how God's going to answer all those prayers. It'll most likely be in part beyond our understanding, but we live by faith. And faith is content to pray and then lean on God. Just keep walking in the light. There are some who simply assume that God would have to work a miracle in order to answer prayers. But God is not so limited that He has to work a miracle in order to see that His will is carried out. One example of that is when David learned that Ahithophel had deserted to Absalom. Back in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 31, David prayed, "O Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." Now, is God going to answer that prayer? How is God going to answer that prayer? By the way, Ahithophel was an incredibly wise man. 2 Samuel 16, verse 23. "Now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired of the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom." And so David took action. Absalom was trying to destroy him. He took action by sending Hushai back to Absalom with a mission to defeat the wise counsel of Ahithophel. David, again, had prayed that Ahithophel's counsel would be turned into foolishness. But David is also being active here. He's doing what he could do about it. And so Absalom asked for advice from Ahithophel. If he would have followed that advice, he would have captured David. He could have put David away. But Absalom also wanted to hear what Hushai had to say. Absalom decided that he liked Hushai's counsel more than Ahithophel's. And David's prayer was answered. Did God have a part in that? Of course he did. We're not told how God overruled to bring about this decision. It's absolutely not the decision that you would expect Absalom to make. But we know that God had a hand in it, even though we don't know how He did it. 2 Samuel 17:14. So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. For the Lord had purposed, to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom." God answered David's prayer. No supernatural signs, no miracles, but in His providence, God carried out His will to defeat Ahithophel's good and wise advice. He turned his counsel into foolishness, but also gave David the wisdom to send Hushai for that purpose. And so we understand that God can answer prayer and carry out a promise without working a miracle. When we pray, we don't have to expect a miracle that, you know, that even unbelievers can witness, but we can fully trust that God does answer prayer according to His will. But He answers prayer. Now, He may say yes. He may say no. He may say later. But He has such power that in His providence, He can work behind the scenes and work for the good of His people. We need to be careful about assuming that we know exactly how God is working in current events. I'm always a little bit amazed that when world events are taking place, whether it's natural disasters or whether it's a war starting up somewhere, there's always some prophets/TV evangelists that suddenly have all these revelations about all these prophecies taking place. Some of them prophesied that Trump would win last time. I don't think he did. Maybe he did, and they cheated. Doesn't matter. He wasn't president. And so constantly we see this happening. We don't exactly know how God is working in current events. We can't even assume that because a certain thing seems to be successful that it's the right thing. Time may prove it's wrong. Or if it's unsuccessful, that it was all wrong. It could have been right. We can't assume that character is always directly related to one's misfortune or vice versa, to one's success and fortune. But we can trust this: God is faithful. Period. God is faithful. God is able to prohibit any temptation from leaving us with no choice but to sin. He will always make a way for us to draw near to Him, to walk away from the temptation, to draw near from Him. By the way, He promised if we will resist Satan, he will flee from us. And that if we will draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. And so He will always make a way for us to walk away from temptation. And how He does that, we might not understand exactly how all that's taking place, but we can trust that He will keep His word. We can trust that God will give us wisdom to deal with our trials. In the midst of the raging storms of life, those trials, we can have some clarity. We can see past the present pain and struggle. And will we be equipped to remain strong and even grow stronger? These are simply examples of how God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit are working in our life daily, in addition to the guidance that we find in Scripture. Again, you remove the guidance found in Scripture, and then you're out there. You don't understand any of this. But once we are rightly dividing the word of truth and feasting on the word of God, we learn so much about how God is there for us. Tonight, if there's any needs in your life and you need to come, please come now while we stand and sing.